Hello, dear cows. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nemro. As always, the guy running these MP3 files. You know, let's talk about... Honestly, I'm sitting here and I've been doing so many MP3 files on the subject of godsend that I'm kind of wanting to get off the subject for a little while. I think we've gone through all the basic things of book one. Now, this may be a 1,000-page book. There's a second book. I don't, you know, however long it's going to be is how long it's going to be. Anyway, I figured it was time to talk about another subject. I'm going to talk about one that usually raises my hackles worse than anything else. And that is education. Schooling is actually the term. I think it's more accurate. I might have talked about this before, but I'm quite sure that this will be a different kind of talk than the last one was. And I'm always reticent to talk about this because I think I worry that I approach this in the wrong spirit. Sometimes I'm somewhat adversarial. And I know I'm not supposed to be. I'm not supposed to stir up contention. You know, my religious faith is really big on getting as much education as you can. And I'm really troubled by the fact that it would be really easy to kind of say, well, Jay Nemro, he's being a bad Mormon because he speaks out against like public education. You know, and there's all kinds of things that could be said. Well, what's the difference between education and schooling? You know, what's one as opposed to the other? A lot of people think it's a semantical, a question is a semantic, you know. If we've just got our definition straight about what education is and what schooling is, that we could have a better conversation about these things, and I could attack schooling while leaving the whole concept of education alone. I'm a person who doesn't like schools. I think schools, by and large, especially as they stand now, are, to a huge degree, a waste of time and money. I think most of the useful things that school teaches, the things that can be put to use, are minimal. I don't think there's very many things that school teaches that are actually useful. I guess I wouldn't mind it so much if school didn't try to co-opt people's lives for 13, 14, up to 16 years if you go to college. And when you're done with that, you're really no more educated than somebody who would have avoided the system. Of course, it's a kind of difficult thing to say because very few people have the opportunity to avoid the system. We've had a few. Of course, the proponents of education who fight vehemently to silence or to come up with good reasons why what people like me say is just garbage. they are quick to say that you know, we bring up the beautiful starry-eyed homeschool situations or unschooling situations where you're like being, you're a child of people with multiple PhDs. Of course you're going to be the most brilliant thing in the world. I have to tell you, I said, I'm not basing this on tons and tons of research. I'm an intuitive person. If you've ever studied Myers-Briggs personality tests, if you've ever had one done for you, if any of this stuff is, you know, if you've ever analyzed yourself, and I was into that for quite a while, and I still do on occasion. There was a time when I did it a lot, and now I've kind of decided that it's not always good just to analyze the garbage out of yourself, because you tend to pigeonhole yourself, and you need to be careful not to do that. It's very easy to steer yourself so much by these things that you get kind of lazy. Say, well, I'm not that kind of a person, I'm not going to go there, where you really do need to. When I took Myers-Briggs, I was like an INFP. I'm an introvert. And that's mostly true. Over time, I've become more extroverted just because I've kind of trained myself to do that. My wife kind of pushed me into it. Here I am. It takes me a long time to warm up to people. But once I do, I'm fine. And people are confused. Yeah, you're not introverted at all. What are you talking about? You're always out doing this and that. I go, no, I've trained myself to be like that. You can train yourself to look like something, but it's really kind of a deep down trait. And I'm wandering all over the place. There are things that you are really deep down, and then there's other things that you really study and work on to make yourself to become something you'd like to be, or to become something that you think you need to be. You can do that. So these little, there's all kinds of theories about your personality as to whether it's actually something that you're born with or something that develops and changes over time. You know, and I guess I take a kind of a safe, middle-of-the-road thing, that by and large our personalities stay the same, but we can dink around with them. We can actually change parts of it. It's going to be at some cost, but it's there. You can do it. Anyway, so part of this personality thing is whether you're thinking or whether you're it's thinking and feeling. The intuitive person trust their feelings much more than external stimuli. The other person, and I forget what it is, and I won't tell you. It's a T. I don't remember what that stands for. I used to teach this stuff. I don't remember. actually, I think, no, it's an S. Anyway. It's sensing. Sensing's the opposite, the kind of flip side of intuitive stuff, which is where you bring these things in from your senses and you tend to interpret your world by what you see and hear. An intuitive person tends to look to themselves for answers, where a sensing person tends to create answers from everything else inside them. They're easily swayed by external things. Intuitive people aren't. They tend to trust themselves. Of course, the problem is that internal thing might very well be wrong, or it might not be the right way to look at a situation, and so you might not have anything useful to say. So anyway, when I approach any of these things, I do it through my intuition, what my heart, for lack of a better word, tells me what's right. And sometimes I'm at odds with what I think is a bunch of thinkers or a bunch of sensors that are very much more pragmatic than I am, that say what they say because they think it's going to help the most people. So my church comes out and says education is very, very important. And everything I feel kind of says, well, I can see why they would say that for the majority of people, that getting as much schooling as you can get is important because they actually want you to be able to have success in life. They want you to have money. That's an important thing in this life, is to have money sufficient to take care of your needs. I've never looked at it that way. Money has always been a tool to get me what I want. And I've always struggled with that, I guess, because I haven't pursued just the act of acquiring wealth probably to the degree that other people tend to. Just because it isn't my biggest thing. I don't care how much money I have. If I have all my needs taken care of, I'm happy with the amount of money I have. Happiness isn't a number for me. It's more of a, do I have these things? And I've always kind of attuned myself to just being able to get those things as cheap as possible. And everybody says time is money, and that's true. You have to invest a lot of time to get money. And I've always looked at it kind of the other way. If I can reduce my need for money, that I can have more time. Right now, my bad circumstance now is that I am in I'm in a salary job. And I'm a big fan of salary jobs because I can't cut down my hours. Can't do it. They own my soul, basically. They have my weekdays. They've never asked me for my weekends, but I guess they technically could. And that would just be life. I would be paid just as much if I had weekends or not. That's kind of bad. School, let's bring this kind of all around, if we can, back to something that makes sense. School is basically a bad thing. Not because it's a place of learning. You could question whether learning happens there. People are going to learn no matter where they are, what circumstances they're in. I'm a firm believer in what's called natural learning. The human beast is designed with almost a thirst to learn, to grow, to get better at things. We can destroy that desire, and I think school is definitely a part of destroying that natural desire to learn. You know, you can put a kid in a building and regulate everything they're allowed to do down to the fact that people have to ask for permission to defecate, to urinate, the point to where they think of life only as a big control issue. You know, here I am, I have to seek permission to do everything. And it isn't just the kids, you know. The teachers are in the same boat. There are certain things that they have to ask constantly for permission for, from people higher up the chain. A lot of people say school is important because it teaches us about how we're expected to behave in a corporate culture. Once we get out of school, we're expected to behave a lot the same. Our teacher changes titles into a manager, but Are we expected to go tell the manager when we're going to the bathroom? Yes. If we go to the bathroom too often, is the manager going to call us down on us and say, what are you doing in there? Do we play the same games in a corporation that we would play in school, almost to kind of thumb our noses at those in power? You know, you go, I'm going to go and smoke in the bathroom because I'm just going to do it because I want to, because I think it's important to tell those in authority that I can get stuff, I can smoke one past you, like they say. It almost kind of breeds this kind of childish, silly, never growing up kind of thing. A lot of corporations like that. They like having people that are kind of childish and kind of silly. And although they have grievances, they'll just take little pot shots to corporations. You know, they'll play tiddlywinks in their office behind closed doors because that somehow gives them a little bit of free time. It's like smoking in the bathroom. You know, you can get away with stuff and feel like life is all of a sudden just fair. And this whole thing is bred from school. Most unschooled people can't tolerate the corporate culture because they see how just utterly stupid and unproductive and dumb and pointless it tends to be. You know, you don't accomplish much of anything. So anyway, school is the great conditioning chamber, the great manufacturer of corporate cogs. It's a funny thing because, honestly, most people still work for corporations, but it's starting to be kind of passé. For me, I live in the middle of nowhere. Most of the people around me don't work for a huge corporation in like an office setting. I live in a town that's next to an interstate highway. Most of the jobs in our town are based on service industry, or on travel, on tourism. We don't really have much for tourists to do. There's probably only maybe 10 people in my whole town of 5,000 who could directly say, well, my job is to serve tourists. You know, we have one place where people go to. Everybody else either works in food service or motels. And that's even less and less so. The new motels being built, the new restaurants, they need less people. Everybody always found out that all of a sudden the biggest cost of all these things was manpower, so they found ways to be more efficient so it wouldn't cost so much. The biggest employer in my town is the school and our local hospital, which is very heavily subsidized by the government. So you could say pretty easily that the entire thing of my town is based on government service. The highest paid people are teachers and nurses. There's going to be two or three people that work somewhere else. Now, there's people that have their own businesses that do well, but there's only a handful of them. Maybe only 20 or 30 in my town. Everybody else who does well is either a teacher or a nurse or works for for our local small hospital. You know, are our schools attuned to producing these kind of people? School is definitely attuned to producing teachers. Almost every kid that you come across who doesn't have who doesn't have an independent will, cows, people who are just kind of following the thing, by default, what do they say they're going to do? I'm going to go into teaching. That's why most colleges, your biggest group of people are going into education, elementary ed, secondary ed, whatever. If they go into secondary ed, they go into secondary ed to teach whatever they are decently good at, you know, whatever they get the best grades in, you know, science, English, history, whatever. And it's kind of the default thing to do. If you grew up in a school, if you can't think of anything smarter to do, what do you end up doing? You go into teaching. Now, in my area, there's a lot of ranching. There's a little bit of farming, but by and large, there's a lot of ranching. So, a whole lot of people from my area, they tend to go into agriculture. Agricultural economics, stuff like that. The whole industry of agriculture. And that's a good idea for them, I suppose, because they have some understanding, they have some aptitude in these things, having grown up around it. Most of them won't ultimately become farmers and ranchers because there's no money in that. Or there's very little. You have to be huge. You have to have a huge investment to get enough money out of it to live off of. And you're constantly, you know, you're constantly playing this risk game when it comes to agriculture anymore, because it costs millions of dollars to get into it, and you're going to have to borrow all that unless you actually have land. That's one of the big purchases, is all the land. The other big purchase is all the equipment that you need. And, of course, all the help you're going to need, but that just goes to show you. It's good to... I think it's good, this local control that we've always striven to have. It's kind of a misnomer. There really isn't much local control. But it does help to make sure that it at least listens to the community and says, what kind of people are we trying to train? The school that I last worked for, which is called San Juan School, its biggest thing, the people they lionize the most are all the people that went to the military. I'd have to say at least half of the kids that graduated from that school went into the military because they didn't see a way that they could do anything else. Their parents certainly weren't encouraging them to follow after them because they were scraping by as farmers and ranchers. And they figured that their children, you know, there's still a culture of having more than just two or three children when you're a farm family. You still have more kids. That goes back to the old days when you used to need those people to be farm workers. You know, it was a family farm and you had five or six kids because they helped you on the farm. They were part of your economy. Now that's not so much true anymore. Your kids go off to college and they take on a whole different life. And this is encouraged because now, you know, your farm has to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger for you to eke out enough money, enough profit at the end of each year to keep yourself fed and to keep the lifestyle that you really want. It's getting more difficult. I'm going to have to go back into this some more. I don't know what I'm going to call this. It's hard to say it was education because we only talked a little bit about this. Time is up. I've got to let you go. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zentalist. I'm Jay Nemro. We'll talk to you next time. Don't be a cow.